So I want to share a word with you before I get in that I believe God has for us this morning. And it says, and we kind of just sang about him. We just almost sang this scripture in a lot of ways. To whom then will you liken me, says the Lord? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. But by the greatest of his might and by the strength of his power, not one is missing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, no strength, he increases their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word is for a lot of people here this morning. A lot of people are fighting a lot of things, experiencing a lot of things in their life. And God says, he is your strength. It's through his might that he will sustain you. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And he will come through for you. No matter what you're experiencing this morning, no matter what fight you're in, he'll come through for you. The message today is called the pillar principle. If you'll turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. The pillar principle. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see a graphic of a pillar. And I'm going to be talking about that. And I want you to look after today to take this home with you, this graphic, and to look at it and think about what God's calling you to. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up a spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He's talking about God's chosen stone and his chosen people. The chosen stone, the cornerstone, of course, Jesus. If you look in verse 4, it says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, talking about Jesus. But then he turns and he says, you also. Look at someone around you and say, you also. You also, as living stones. He's talking about building his kingdom, building his church. And he set the cornerstone in Jesus. But then the other stones that he uses are living stones. Not brick and mortar, but living stones. Who is the church? People. He's talking about you also as living stones, living in Christ, are being what? Built up. See, building the kingdom. Building God's church, the church of Jesus Christ. As living stones, he's saying you're built up. Here's what I want to talk about today. Making a disciple. And God has a pillar principle, we'll call it. Well, why call it the pillar principle? Because a pillar is a standard. I'll go ahead and use the graphic. if you have a bulletin or you have one close to you, you can look on it. The pillar is a standard. It's a support that holds something up. It holds things together. And that's what being a disciple is about. You become a support. You become a standard for God's church, for building God's church, making a disciple. And I'll talk a little more about that pillar principle in a moment. But as living stones, see, we're not to be dead in our faith. We're not to come into church and sit and be dead and go through the motions and do religious stuff and just think, okay, I've checked that off. We're to be living, life-breathing stones that the church is being built on. Psalm 118. Look back, if you will, Psalm 118. You can hold your place there in 1 Peter, and we'll be back there in a second. Psalm 118, verse 22. I want to show you how this Old Testament and New Testament is connected. Psalm 118, 22, he writes, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Old Testament. Who was the stone they rejected? New Testament. Jesus. Jesus. They rejected him. But even though the people rejected him, God set him in place as the chief cornerstone. And verse 23 says, "This was God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it." 1 Peter, "You also as living stones are being built up." You know what becoming, making of a disciple is? You're building up. You're being built up. He says, as a spirit, in a spiritual house. A spiritual house. The church is being built up as a spiritual house. Not a place to come. We do socialize. We do, we call it fellowship. But it's not a Rotary Club or an Elks Club or a convention. It's a place, it's a spiritual house. This is the house of the Holy Spirit, your body. And what he's writing there is, Peter's writing is that you're being built up as a spiritual house for God's Spirit to live in. Holy priesthood, a holy priesthood. I'm not going to get into that today. That's a whole other message. But every one of us are called to be a priest in our home, in our places of work, in every place we go, to be a priest. A holy priesthood. We're being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Well, what are spiritual sacrifices? It's things you do for God. It's meeting with Him. It's sacrificing your time for Him, to meet with Him, to come into relationship with Him. It's sacrificing your body for Him, to Him. Oh, that doesn't mean you hang on a cross like He did. It means you take care of the spiritual house. You take care of your body. You offer it to Him. You keep it pure physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You keep it pure. Holy spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So that's kind of a picture of what God expects of us to become a living stone, a pillar, a standard in building His house. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 3. People are always wanting to go to Revelation, so here we are. Where that came from. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. This is what I'm going to call the actual pillar principle. This is a picture of what Jesus is describing as making a disciple. 3:12. He who overcomes. Jesus is speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, this should be in red. I want to back up. It won't be on the screen. Just hold that right there for a minute, Morgan. Verse 11 says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." Jesus is talking about that. And I know everybody says, "Well, we've been hearing that for years." Yeah, we have. But we don't know what a year is in God's time. But I can tell you, looking at this earth and this planet, in this nation especially, He is coming quickly. I believe that. "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown." Hold fast to your salvation. Don't waste it. Don't take it lightly. Don't discard it. Don't abuse it. Hold fast to your crown. And then verse 12, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name." My new name. I've read a lot of different dissertations on that, but most people believe he's speaking of salvation, or that relationship with him that we have with him. His new name, salvation. He will write on you. He'll write on me that new name when he comes down from heaven, that salvation. So let's look at this. I want us to see three things here in verse 12. The first principle of God's pillar principle in making a disciple is faith. Faith. It's faith. Look at the words here in verse 12. "He who overcomes." He who overcomes. You see, we overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. By faith. By faith. I believe there's a lot of people here this morning that need faith, need more faith. They need their faith elevated to a new level. I believe we all do. I believe I do. Let me tell you, the times we're in, we better have faith. I'm telling you, it's ugly, and it's going to get uglier. And I don't say that to scare you, because there doesn't have to be any fear in God's house. But you better have faith. Faith to overcome. Overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. He says, "He who overcomes." He's talking about faith. That's how we overcome. Hold your finger there and just turn back to the left a little bit to 1 John. Chapter 5. Here's the key to faith. Here's the explanation of it. Here's how it's fleshed out here by Peter, by John. Verses 4 and 5. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. "For whatever is born of God overcomes" what? "The world. And this is the victory that has" what? "Overcome the world." What is that? Our faith. We overcome the world with our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, let me say something there. I was texting back and forth with somebody yesterday evening here about something, and they text, "I believe in Jesus," exclamation point. And I text back, "So does the devil." He does. See, that's the starting point. We have to believe in Jesus, but it's more than that. We have to have faith in Jesus. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have to believe that He is the one true Savior, and the only way to heaven as he says he is. But for whatever is born of God, whoever is born again, whoever has a personal relationship with God, overcomes the world. Well, what is that? Well, a lot of it is the craziness we're seeing. But it's also the worldliness in us. We overcome the worldliness in us with faith. By faith. We overcome by faith. So, pillar principle number one, faith. If you're going to make a disciple, if you're going to become a disciple, it starts with faith. You've got to start with faith. The next thing is look at back in Revelation there, 3:12. He who overcomes, faith, I will make him a pillar. What's the next three words after he who overcomes? I will make. You see, we have a part in it, but we don't make ourselves a disciple. Jesus said, I will make. And you know what that's speaking of? His creative power. Faith and then creative power. Jesus' creative power. He says, whoever overcomes with faith, then I will make. He'll make you a disciple. But in your faith, you need to study his word. You need to spend time praying, talking with him, listening to his voice, learning to hear his voice, and then being obedient to his word and being obedient to what he tells you, what Holy Spirit says. His creative power. You see, don't misunderstand me. Don't think that you can study the word 3 hours a week and you pray 3 hours a week or 3 hours a day and read and study 3 hours a day and you're just going to, by osmosis, become a disciple. You don't do that. See, it's relationship. It's not mechanics. That's a part of it. Do you need to be in the Word? Yes. You got to know what God's Word says. You got to pray. You got to learn to hear His voice. But the key is His creative power takes place when you're obedient to what He tells you, either by His Word or by His Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, knowledge is great, but knowledge doesn't do anything unless His creative power, the power of His Spirit, is moving in you and working through you. So, pillar principle number two, Jesus' creative power. He says, I will make him a pillar. A pillar. You see, in his creative power, it's not about, you hear all these, and there's some good motivational material out there, but let me tell you, that's all it is. It's motivational. And motivational, how many people know motivation doesn't last? Let me tell you how it lasts. It's not self-help. It's not self-achievement. It's not you can make it happen. He doesn't say, you will make a pillar. He says, I will make a pillar. Make, the word make there means shaping. He's shaping what's already there. He's going to take you, when you take your faith and you submit your faith to him, then he's going to take you and he's going to make you. He's going to make you into a disciple if you stay committed and submitted to him. It's creating. And anything you're lacking, by the way, because there's a lot of people sitting here saying, well, you know, I can't do that. You're right, you can't. You can't do that, but you can be that. See, every one of us are called to be a disciple. The great commandment doesn't say make Christians. It says go and make disciples. Salvation is just the first step. And if you stop at salvation, when you get saved, you say, hallelujah, my ticket's punched. I'm on my way to heaven. You're not going to have much of a life in the kingdom. You'll get to heaven because you're saved. But you're not living in the kingdom now, the here and now. Here's the point, and you might want to write this down. Jesus has the will and the power. Jesus has the will and the power. If you have the willingness and availability. If you're willing and available to let His power work in you, His creative power. Jesus has the will and the power if you have the willingness and you'll make yourself available, His creative power will begin making you a disciple. And pillar principle number three is stability. Stability. Stability is the identity of a pillar. A pillar gives stability to things. You know, when I've seen a lot of people that have these older frame houses that were built in the 20s in St. Cloud, and they're up on blocks, and we've been in some where they're settling, and I've helped some guys go in, and they jack them up, and they put another pillar, a block underneath there. It's a support. Stability. The pillar principle, the third part of the pillar principle is stability. You got to have faith. You got to have Jesus' creative power working in you, and you got to have stability. And the stability comes from that. He says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar is a strong support. So what's the significance of the pillar principle, the stability part of the pillar principle, Pastor? Being a disciple and having stability as a disciple is being a support, not just in your own faith, but to others around you. You're a support to others around you. God calls us into fellowship. God calls us to encourage one another and to support one another in faith, in help, in practical help and needs, but in faith as well, in prayer. You can be a stability in someone's life through prayer, a strong support to others. And see, when you have faith in Christ and you allow His creative power to work in you, your life will begin to stabilize. You'll quit being tossed to and fro with every whim and wave that blows and every wind that blows. You see, there's a lot of wind blowing out there today in different directions. It's called political correctness. It's called chaos. All kinds of things. But a pillar doesn't sway with the wind. A pillar stands strong. And that's why we have to have God's pillar principle. A pillar is a strong support to others. A pillar, a disciple, when you become a disciple and you're allowing yourself to keep growing as a disciple, you become a father that kids can lean on, a husband a wife can trust, a friend that people know won't fail them. And then take it into the church. When you have stability, when you have faith, when His creative power is working you as a volunteer in the church, you're faithful to serve Him. A loving spouse, a good pastor, considerate boss, a helping neighbor. You see, that's why becoming a disciple is so important. Because it's all these things I just mentioned are an outflow of that. It's an outflow of God's faith and creative power stabilizing in you and becoming an outflow in those areas of your life. You see, Jesus makes pillars. A pillar is nothing more than a disciple. A disciple is a pillar, a support, a strong support in all areas of their life and around them and around others. Worship team, if you'll come on up. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Faith is the first part of the pillar principle. If you don't have faith, you can forget the other two. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But anyone that comes to Him must believe that He is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, when that word rewarder, actually in the English, it's not even a word, but it's a word in the Bible, rewarder. When we come to him, when we believe that he is, when we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and truly give him our heart in faith, then he rewards us with giving us more faith, growing us in our faith, growing us in our faith. His creative power begins to work in us and through us, the power of his Spirit. And then things begin to stabilize in our life. You know, when something happens, we're not blown out of the water. When a crisis hits, we're not useless. We don't hold it together. He holds it together with us and for us. Making a disciple. Jesus makes pillars, disciples. And when a person makes a commitment to him and stays faithful to that commitment, you see, a lot of people come to God and they flame out. Same thing happens in their faith that happens with a new car. The new wears off, so they quit washing it as much. They quit servicing it and taking care of it as much because the new's worn off. Am I right? Well, we do that with our faith. We have a tendency to do that with our faith. We get excited. God saves us. We want to tell people about it. But then, as I heard somebody put it years ago when I first got saved, then we get over it. Don't get over your faith. Don't get over your salvation. Don't get over what God wants to do in your life. He wants to make you a pillar, a standard, a support. Trusting him, continually trusting him. You see, you trust him the first time when you receive him as Savior. You trust in Christ as Savior. That's only the beginning. We have to keep trusting him. Because you know what? Life goes on. Life continues. But he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Let's pray. Are you becoming a pillar in your life? Is your faith growing? Is God's power, his Spirit, working in your life, moving in your life? Is he showing you things about him? Are you hearing his voice in your spirit? Are you sensing stability in your life? Stability in your faith, where you're not just blown back and forth. When things are good, your faith is strong. When things are bad, your faith is gone. That's not it. Stability. Stability. And let me ask you this. The first step. The very first step. The most important step. Jesus. I ask you today not do you just believe in Jesus, but do you know Jesus? As I said earlier, the devil believes in Jesus. It's not enough to just believe in him. We need to know him as our Savior. We need to put our faith in him as the one true way to heaven. And so I ask you this morning, do you know that you know that you know in your heart of hearts that you have the salvation that Jesus gives? If you don't wait. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Your next breath is not guaranteed. I can remember many years that I sat in church saying, oh, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. I was fortunate enough to live long enough to actually give my life to Christ. But here's the most important thing. It's not just about escaping hell and not going to hell. Hell is a real place. It's a horrible place. But it's about the new life that God will bring to you when you receive Christ. The new way of thinking. The new way of looking and relating with people. The joy that you can't describe. The peace that comes in that you can't explain. It passes, as the Word says, passes all understanding. That comes with salvation. And there's much more that comes with salvation. Do you need Christ in your life tonight, today, this morning? If you do, will you slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you where you're sitting. And just say, Pastor, I'm raising my hand by faith that I need Christ in my life. I need Christ in my life. I want to know that I know that I know that I am saved. Okay, I see your hand. Anyone else? This is nothing to be ashamed of, but I can tell you right now, the devil will lie to you and say, don't do that. Don't raise your hand. People will think you're weird. People will think less of you. See, I know all the lies he speaks. He's spoken them to me. Still does at times. Anyone else? I want Christ in my life. Okay, you that raised your hand, pray this prayer. Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I believe that he is the one true Savior. I ask him to forgive me of all my sins. I ask him to come into my life. Give me a new heart and a new start. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Today, I have become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed it with your heart, not just your head, with your heart, based on God's Word, your salvation has come today. And so walk in it. And when you leave here, and the enemy tries to say, you didn't do anything, nothing happened to you, you call him the same thing the Bible calls him. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And you speak the name of Jesus, and you say, devil, I am a child of God. And I know that I am his child. And he'll flee from you. He cannot stay and stand in the presence of the name of Jesus. That's faith working in your life. Father, I thank you today that even now your word is working in people's lives. I thank you now, Lord, that your truth and your peace is flowing in this place. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for people that are wounded emotionally. They're hurt in their emotions. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch their hearts and begin to heal those emotions, begin to free them from that injury in their emotions. That if it's someone they need to forgive, God, that you would show them, that you would give them the grace to forgive, just as you have forgiven them, to forgive that person or persons who has wounded them. Lord, I pray for people here who are struggling physically with all kinds of physical ailments. Father, I speak specifically to cancer. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we curse every cancer cell in every body in this place, in every person, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that anyone who is struggling with any kind of physical ailment, cancer, heart trouble, any kind of organ ailment, in the name of Jesus, that they would reach out to you, that they would trust you, and they would by faith ask you, God, to touch their bodies, and that they would offer their body to you in faith. Father, we trust you. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our possessions. We trust you with our provision. We trust you for our protection. God, we ask you by your Spirit to well up in this place in faith. The people would be healed and whole and living in your kingdom and in the grace and the joy of your kingdom now, and help build your kingdom now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Listen, if you made any kind of decision today, take that connection point and just write it on the back. Maybe you gave your life to Christ today. Check that box. And I just want to send you some information and pray for you and encourage you in the days ahead and send you some information about a journey with God. Maybe you've been watching by internet and you made a decision. Contact us at our website and let us know so we can pray for you. We want to bless you. We want to encourage you. Encourage you every day. Encourage each other as the Bible calls us to. Ushers, if you'd come forward and receive this morning. Heart Cry Chapel, family and friends, it's offering and tithing time.